London's LBC 97.3. 0870
90 90973.
Nick Abbott.
So her name is Emily Maitlis. I've actually had problems at school. What if she had any mates? Is that the one I'm talking about? She looks like she's dressed up for the opera.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. Yes. You can't concentrate on what she's saying because you're busy having your eyes spangled by her jewellery and her eyes, and then it's just ridiculous.
She's quite popular with lots of the boys.
Well, that's irrelevant. She's not... It's not a swimsuit contest. She's reading the news, you know. Anna Ford was right. We need old newsreaders. Anna Ford, who gave her last broadcast this week, has criticised the Beat for being ageist. Correct. Female presenters are not encouraged to have lines on their faces, says the 62-year-old. She looks fantastic, doesn't she? She's right, of course. Michael Burke looks great. But any woman his age is considered past it, says this, I think this is the Sun. But if I looked, I think this is, oh, I don't know who it is. Anyway, it's irrelevant. So Emily Maitlis, and what's the news on Maitlis?
Well, I think she's already done Newsnight now, but she's very bright, and she's sort of getting in on the celeb circle and went to the Royal Television Awards, and she was wearing a dress that kind of had her boobs out on show, and she got a lot of publicity for that, which I think was not what she wanted.
I missed that. Not what she wanted. Right. So she went up the red carpet with her boobs on show, and she didn't want anybody to notice.
Well, it was just that the Newsnight stuff was coming out, so it's all a bit unfortunate.
I mean, what are they going to do on the 6 o'clock news next? Put in, like, a stripper pole? This is ridiculous. You want old people to read you the news, because you don't trust people who are young and have got a face full of makeup, do you? You just can't take it seriously, what they're saying. You think, well, what do you know? You're telling me all this stuff. How do you know, you think? But if it's someone old, like Anna Ford, or Reggie Bosanquet, or any of those old people, you think, oh, yeah, yeah, that's the voice of veracity, that is.
There's especially few women presenters, aren't they, that who, as they get older. Moira Stewart's still doing the breakfast news, isn't she?
Well, don't they say black don't crack?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a lack of lines on Maura Stewart's face. How old is she? She must be 50-something.
No,
there's no lines on her face.
But equally, Anna Ford.
I used to live in Clapham North, and that's what black guys said to me. I got that from a black person before you start writing in and complaining. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Yes, but I think that's fairly true. I mean, there's no lines on... See? My brain, like bits of it are falling out in the carpet as I'm sitting here.
Listen to George Bush umming and ahhing too many
times. That's right, yeah. But there are no lines on that black newsreader's face. Moira Stewart. But I think in the news, particularly, you want someone older presenting it. You don't want the news from some youth, which is what Emily Maitlis looks like to me. She looks like she should be presenting what people are wearing from the red carpet at the Oscars. Like, give her one of those jobs. I'm sure she's super bright, and if she is, then she should know better than to look like that on the news. I mean, how's Jeremy Paxman going to look? That dowdy old bloke is going to look like somebody just picked out the rubbish next to her.
What about Katie Derham?
Katie Derham, remind me.
ITV, very beautiful, little bit older, but not old.
Or kind of blonde, like a blonde hair helmet. Looks like she's got all the hairspray that the band Whitesnake haven't used.
No, I would say that's not her at all.
Oh.
But she's got darker hair, but she does often the London Tonight with Alex.
You know what,
Stewart.
I can't... Oh.
She's very smiley. Not so good at London Tonight as the serious news.
Something about Alastair Stewart. I just can't live with it.
A little cheesy at times.
Yeah, the cheesy news. You know what? That's not where I go for my amusement and entertainment. I don't want my laughs from the news. I want them from The Simpsons, for instance. Hands up, who saw the Ricky Gervais Simpsons episode? Now, keep your hands up if you even smiled, let alone laughed. Oh, that's everybody put their hands down. I thought I was the only one, you know? I mean, sometimes The Simpsons is the funniest thing on television, without exception. And sometimes it's just flat-out rubbish. Like, you sit through it without even cracking a smile. And I'd have to say that the worst Simpsons episode I've ever seen was written, supposedly written by Ricky Gervais. Although I have my doubts about whether he wrote the whole thing, because it was peppered with so many inside American observations that I would doubt that he would even know what they were. So presumably, I mean, something like The Simpsons, like an American sitcom that's been running for so long, because a season in America is half a year, it's 24 episodes in a season, which is why the 24 TV program fits so well, because they do half a year, whereas in this country, a season of comedies will be six. It's quite easy to, relatively easy to write six episodes of something. You'd think it would be, but apparently it isn't. But in America, they had to come up with 24 of them. And so they have a team of writers. There'll be 15 people who write these things. So I find it hard to believe, although having watched it, perhaps it's not hard to believe, that Ricky Gervais wrote the whole thing himself. And I thought, am I the only one that doesn't find Ricky Gervais funny anymore? Absolutely, The Office was one of the funniest things that's ever been on television. I mean, mostly it was painful to look at, especially when you see the repeats. It is a bit uncomfortable, because you're looking at a man who's clearly not all there, socially. But pretty much everything else he's done has been like, meh. You know, his radio show was pants, really. I mean, it was just so self-congratulatory, and I just didn't find it funny at all. I tried his podcast, and that didn't make me laugh. His he did an interview show on the TV. He did a chat show, and that was awful. And he did a stand-up, which was okay. It wasn't brilliant. It was okay. So he's had The Office, which was brilliant. Everything else has been, I always thought that I'm the only one who thinks this. Everybody else in the country thinks that Ricky Gervais is absolutely the funniest person to come out of this country since John Cleese. Well, I'd have to say that he's not in the same league, because John Cleese has got a great body of work that's funny. He just has to stride on stage and he's funny. He did adverts for Sainsbury's that were funny, despite getting a lot of complaints. How ridiculous that he could complain that he was shouting at people in Sainsbury's. It was an advert. Anyway, they took it off, and they stuck the bloke with a tongue that's too big for his mouth. And he's doing very well. But The Sun pretty much wrote everything that I thought. And when you start thinking along the same lines as The Sun, then you have to take a deep breath and stand back from yourself. But this is Ali Ross's TV review. Sunday night, it's The Simpsons, and as Ricky Gervais points out, the trouble with writing an episode of TV's greatest show is that you can only make it worse, which is true, he says. But along the way, you can also natter your own reputation, wind up viewers with your smug, fang-faced gurning on endless Simpsons commercials, and then write one of the worst episodes ever. One Trick Ricky, Brent on The Office, Brent on Extras, which is another thing I didn't think was funny at all. Extras. I tried and stopped watching it, and then people kept saying, oh, this is your genius personified. So I tried again, and I thought, no, and I stopped watching it again. And then people kept saying, oh, you must watch Extras. So I tried again, three times. It's just not funny. It isn't. So it's Brent on The Office, Brent on Extras, Brent on his live show, Brent on those ruddy podcasts, says Ali Ross. He can get away with that kind of language in The Sun. And now Brent on The Simpsons as well. The tie fiddling, the get the guitar love song for Marge, the awkward head swivelling pauses that don't work on animation. Yeah, I thought that too. All Ricky's usual comedy crutches are there, and it's an act that's wearing a bit thin, says Ali Ross. So thin, in fact, that it fell to Sky to insert the best gag, someone had to, with an apology during the ad break, in saying that Channel 4 will be unable to screen this episode for another 4 years. In which case, lucky old Channel 4. Sometimes it's nice to think that you're not the only one, you know? But Maybe me and Ali Ross are the only people that think that Ricky Gervais is like, you know, he's not a comic genius. He maybe just got lucky. I think that the thing with Ricky Gervais is that he is David Brent. I think that he is actually that person. Which is so shocking that it is funny. And the script was funny. There's no question about that. And the performances that he got from the actors were hilarious. As was he himself in The Office. You can't take that away. That was one of the funniest programs that has ever been shown on television. But everything else is like... But he just won in the Rose d'Or, which I think used to be there again, this thing dribbling out my ear, liquefied brain matter. It used to be the Palm, the Golden Rose of Montreux, right? I think that's what this is. Brits last night swept the board at the prestigious Rose d'Or International TV Awards. Ricky Gervais, 44, bagged two gongs, Best Sitcom for Extras, and the Honorary Rose d'Or Award for his contribution to entertainment. His Extras co-star Ashley Jensen won Best Actress gong. QI presenter Stephen Fry won the Golden Rose for the Best Game Show Host. And an actress called Jo Joyner from Five Shows Swinging was voted Best Female Comedy Performer. Best Variety Program was the Friday Night Project. What's that? The Friday Night Project, colon, Billy Piper. What does that mean? Am I missing out here? Best reality show was The Apprentice, and the award for the best game show went to that non-show, Deal or No Deal, which is not a game show at all. I don't get it. I really don't get that show. And it's a worldwide hit now. It's a massive hit in America now. I'm confused. Because you can play along with game shows by shouting the answer at the screen, but how can you shout the answer to the screen in a show that's got no questions? But none of these people should feel too proud of this, because do you remember one year that the winners of the Golden Rose of Montreux were the only double act to have two straight men, Hale and Pace?
London's LBC 97.3.
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott. Hey, Phil.
Hello, Nick. How's it going?
All right, thanks.
Right, I don't know where to start now, because you've got me thinking about so many different points. You know the game, first off?
Can
I have a guess at the second person, please?
Well, should we do that at the end?
All right. Just don't forget.
You'll have to remind me.
Right, since we were just talking about Simpsons, I'll start off with South Park. You used to be a big fan of that. Do you still watch it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think that South Park, the creators of South Park, are actual proper comic geniuses.
Well, Team America in itself was just superb.
Team America could be the funniest film I've ever seen.
Oh, we can't really quote any of it, innit?
None of it at all, no. Don't you know how busy I am?
But I was asking about South Park, because they actually did a whole episode on Scientology. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
With certain... Hollywood people saying they can't come out of the closet.
Yes. I don't know if we should talk about this, but they were in a closet in a boy's bedroom, a closet being a cupboard, naturally. And the second half of the program, for reasons best known to them, to the creators, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, Tom Cruise was in this boy's closet, with people outside forever asking Tom Cruise to come out of the closet.
And then they joined him in the closet.
And then who's the guy with the planes outside his house?
John Travolta.
John Travolta walks in and joins Tom Cruise in the closet. So people are outside asking John Travolta and Tom Cruise to come out of the closet. And then some rap star. R. Kelly, right. And then he walks in too. And people are forever asking R. Kelly, John Travolta, and Tom Cruise to come out of the closet. Which is just the sort of thing that you can get away with in a cartoon, but not in real life.
But did you hear that Isaac Hayes quit over that?
He supposedly quit over their treatment of his cult religion, whatever it's supposed to be called.
So he killed him off in the first episode of the new series.
Yes, which I also saw, and unfortunately that episode wasn't that funny.
No, it was quite disturbing, actually.
It was a little bit disturbing, yeah. It's something that you can only get on the net.
Well, yeah.
I think the Scientology thing has been banned in this country, hasn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think they showed it once in America, and then it's been banned.
Yeah,
and
I think that it's not now, it's just the net, because you have to wait like a year to get it over here now.
Yeah, and then I think they also banned the other one we were just talking about. Oh my God, I think 7 hours a day on the air is actually taking its toll. The second one that you were talking about, oh yeah, the one that they killed off Chef. Oh, now
sure
I've told the people.
Huh?
Have
they started showing that series over here yet?
No, but you can see it on the World Wide Wait.
Well, yeah, that's what I've seen them all so far.
Yes. Thank God for the internet, eh? What would we do without? Can you imagine having the internet taken away from us now? And what would we do? I mean, we used to live life relatively recently without it, quite successfully. But if we were asked to do it now, what would we do? We'd be stymied.
Well, it's the same as TV now. That's the thing. I mean, old people always used to say to me, you know, we used to be able to live without television. Why can't you? Why do you always watch it? But then you see old people, and all they do is just sit in front of the TV all the time.
The thing with television,
right, for them saying that they live without it, they didn't have it.
The thing with television is you can live without it. Whenever you go on holiday, when I go on holiday, the last thing I want to do is read a newspaper or watch television, and you don't miss it at all. But when I'm at home, it's pretty much all I do. To the exception of virtually nothing. I never go out now, ever. Why would you go out when you've got 150 channels of stuff to watch on Sky?
I was actually, it's odd that we actually got onto the net, because I wasn't trying to talk about it, but I tried to talk to you about that last night, and then you disappeared for the news.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to talk to you about the MySpace friend site thing.
Yeah.
And I was trying to say that if you've got quite a big following on the internet at least, and I was just wondering if you did a MySpace, I'm guessing a lot of your, fans, because let's say you've got a lot of regular callers, would actually like sign up and want to read everything that you type, because like you've seen on the net, you can do blogs and all sorts.
What, typing? typing is not something that interests me. I don't want to sit and type. What do you mean, though, put myself on MySpace? I thought that was just something where you go and try and find friends. Or sex,
no, you can.
Frank.
People use it as, like, their own website, like a personal website. They stick photos up to tell people what they're up to. Just basically keep people up to date with their lives when, you know, it's when they don't know, really.
Right.
Just about, like, every sports star or TV star seems to have their own right now.
Well, mine would be like a teenager's diary. Got up, had breakfast, watched TV, had supper, went to bed. That's it. Every day.
Well, that'll be fun.
So I think I'll pass on that.
Right, well, can I have a quick go at the game before you go?
The game, yes. Number two. This is number one. I won't play all of it.
Bush, yeah.
That's George Bush.
Michael Parkinson.
Is the wrong answer, but thanks for playing.
Thanks a lot, mate.
He's very, very, very famous, and has been in the news almost constantly lately, on a daily basis. Front page news. Not a warm man. No warmth there. You couldn't detect it with a microscope. Who is that? £20 of my money, I'll buy you anything you want. Anything you want. Let's go with a call in Bromley. Hey, William.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, William.
I was just going to say, you were talking about Macmillan and wife, Brock Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he died in 1990 of AIDS.
Maids?
AIDS.
One
of the first big stars to die of AIDS.
Maids. What, somebody came in and, cleaned his room really badly. He was stunned and just dropped down dead right in front of him.
You know what I mean. AIDS.
AIDS. Yeah, I know that. Everyone knows that. Like, this is news?
Well, it's just bringing up the rest of the story that you hadn't finished.
What story?
About Macmillan and wife.
That's the rest of the story. That's all we can say about Rock Hudson, that he died of maids.
Whatever.
Okay, thanks for the news, William.
Right.
He's kept us up to date. he's only 20 years late, but at least now we know. Maids did it. This is LBC 97.3. I'm Nick Abbott. I didn't finish this BBC story, did I? Guess what's coming soon? Just guess. Have a wild stab in the dark, why don't you? What's coming soon to BBC One, starring Radio One babe Sarah Cox, who gets how much? Like £500,000 for 2 shows a week? She is worth every penny, isn't she? I mean, she's like, oh, I'm trying to think of an adjective. Funny? No, I'll cross that one off. Interesting? No. Oh, it's like Lucky Dip. Let's pick one at random.
Attractive?
Well, she's a babe. She looks great on radio. Worth every penny. Radio 1 babe Sarah Cox is being lined up for BBC One's newest reality series, a show which features celebrities learning... Have a guess.
To sing?
Nope.
Present?
Nope.
Radio DJ?
Nope. Someone should teach her that, but go on.
We've done dressing. Eating? I haven't done that one.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, though, but no.
Pottery?
Pottery? No. Show jumping.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Show jumping.
Wow.
It will be screened... Guess how often? That's right. Every day. For a week. In July. Sarah grew up on a dairy farm. So now we know. You know what they're going to call it? This will probably be the only funny thing about it. Only Fools on Horses.
Oh.
Which is probably why they came up with show jumping. They were having a, you know, sitting around, spending our money on booze in a meeting, in inverted commas, and they thought, Only Fools and Horses. Only Fools on Horses. Oh, I know! Genius at work. Your money being well spent. Here's one in Wimbledon. Amy.
Hi, yeah, just a quick point. There's a very good reason why the only thing you find funny about Ricky Gervais is The Office. He co-wrote it with Stephen Merchant.
Oh, is that the genius behind this?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're right, you know, Ricky Gervais is definitely David Brent. That's why I don't find him funny. He's a squirmy person. Actually, I first remember him.
Squirmy.
Do you remember the 11 o'clock show?
He kind of is squirmy. Yeah, you're right. It's a bit repellent.
Smarmy, sort of. Yeah.
He comes across like he wouldn't be a very nice person.
Right. I mean, he was first televised on the 11 o'clock show with Ian Lee. I don't know if you remember that way back.
No.
Yeah, and he came across as a right loser then, you know.
He was on... Right, I didn't know that.
Ask Ian Lee, he'll tell you.
Right. Huh. Doing what on that programme? What was he doing?
He was just sort of doing like a voice box on the street, you know. It was definitely not funny. It's all improv, you know. I think he had a bit of a drink problem then.
Well, let's just say for balance that maybe he didn't have a drink problem.
Well, it was naturally beer gutted.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean...
Well, his whole demeanour, you know, quite slurred and...
When you're digging a small ditch, the best thing to do, Amy, is just keep on digging.
Yeah.
And then depart and leave us in it.
Okay, I'd just like to say the thing I'm really find funny at the moment is Green Wing, particularly Dr. Statham. Absolutely brilliant. Do you watch it?
Well, no. You know what? I missed it the first time round, and then I saw all these ads, these giant posters all over town for Green Wing, and I thought, what on earth is that? It looks like the strangest thing I've ever seen. And then it came back, and because I hadn't seen the first series, I didn't bother. And then the reviews came out, and people like A.A. Gill and all the other reviewers were saying, actually, the first series was comic nirvana, but the second series is flat-out rubbish, so I thought, oh, well, I've missed the boat there.
You don't watch it for the plot, you watch it for the characters, and some of them are really good. I mean, they do a lot of improv, you know?
Sometimes I just, if it's a new comedy, I just think, oh, you know, I just won't bother, because I'm bound to be disappointed, and there's so much TV. If you've got one of those personal video recorders that just stores television for you, you're forever behind. You're forever playing, like Henry Kelly used to say on that stupid afternoon game show. You're ever playing catch-up.
Right. But like I say, you can just watch it at any stage. It's not a, you know, an intrinsic plot line, really.
Right. Okay, well, I'll dip in and out. How's that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
Okay, bye.
Ta-ra. Yeah, this is LBC 97.3. I think the best thing on television right now is a repeat. And I've seen them before, but even having seen them before, they're still the best thing on television, and that's The Sopranos, which Channel 4 are throwing away in the middle of the night. And if we didn't have personal video recorders, where would we be? Fiddling with trying to get your video to... couldn't go back to that nightmare. So, yeah, it's the Sopranos. And the comedy act in The Sopranos is actually a rock star called Little Steven. Can he act? No, he cannot.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3. LBC
97.3.
I didn't quite know how to take this story. I mean, see if this makes any sense to you. This was in a paper of record. I think it's the Telegraph, judging by the typeface. Scientists have invented a way to let people speak without moving their lips or making any sound. The space agency NASA has developed sensors that work out what someone is preparing to say, even though the words are never spoken. Are you with me? Instead, phrases appear on a computer screen and can be converted into speech or sent to a mobile phone. The technology could let executives compose discrete text messages in meetings, or commuters to have silent mobile calls on a train. NASA's aim of astronauts talking to Earth from space more easily has been tested with firefighters who need to stay in touch while working in noisy environments. The silent speech interface reads electrical current between the brain and speech muscles as sentences are formed in the head. These signals can be detected by button-sized sensors under the chin and beside the Adam's apple. That can't possibly be true. Wasn't it not the Avengers, it was the, not the Persuaders, it was one of those names from the 70s, they didn't jaunt, but they spoke to each other without, they crashed in the Andes and were, and had local Andean people bestow magical powers on them, and they talked to each other without speaking. You remember that? I'm sure the programme opened with a shot of the water fountain in the lake in Geneva. They were called the... Oh, no, this is going to drive me nuts. It's probably one of those shows on ITV4 that they're repeating right now. They're repeating all the old good stuff from the 1970s. Any ideas? No? Help me out? But, The Telegraph would just print that without question. The Champions! Absolutely correct, sir! Wow, that's a loud one, isn't it? Yeah, the Champions. I wonder what that's like anyway, because I used to be mad keen on that as a child, and the things that you used to love as children, when you would revisit them, things like The Prisoner, for instance, or The Persuaders, which was a class act, because it had Roger Moore and Tony Curtis in the same programme. But when you go back to them, after a while, it's like, you can't go back, really. Some things you can, like Dad's Army. It's still nice to spend time in those old men's company, because they're kind of like your friends. Some of it is not laugh out loud funny, but it's just nice company to keep, you know? But other things, definitely of their time. You didn't hear any of that, did you?
I heard the tail end. What about Columbo? I still like that sometimes.
Yeah, except it's a lot less interesting now we're all grown up, because you know what's going to happen, it's just the same thing. And he always does the same tricks. Like, he'll question them, and he'll irritate them, because he just stumbles around and looks stupid. And they think, it's always, Captain Kirk. What's his name? It's always him. It's always him. What's his name?
Shatner.
William Shatner. Did he have to be called Shatner? Anyway, he's always, and they're always rich, and he's always just killed, freshly killed someone, and then Columbo shows up in a car that leaks oil, and with a cheap cigar, and Shatner thinks to himself, I can befuddle this fool, but no, because Columbo starts getting on his nerves, and then he'll leave the room, and then he's always like, oh, one more thing, he'll come back. Same thing every show. If your name was William Shatner, don't you think you'd change it? Quiet, isn't it? Hey, does anyone want to play the game? 0870-9090-973. I am running out of steam. I've been on the air for 14 hours this weekend. You have to help me.
I think the second one's too hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah. Well, what about another one?
All right, another one. Now, this guy couldn't possibly have been in the news more if he'd actually taken up... If he'd become Rupert Murdoch. This is so easy. Come on. Easy. Right?
That's easier.
Easy. It's getting good reviews, by the way. Can't wait. Because the second one sucked. But the first one was great. The second one was awful. John Woo. He can go and take a flying jump at himself. Rubbish movie. So what would you rather I talk about now? Internet dating, army kit shortages, Prescott. We better leave him out. Because he's disputing some of those claims. And, but his face, it's his face that's, that fascinates me most. he's always, is that man ever not in a bad mood? He is, he's got a face like the proverbial, archetypal bulldog chewing a wasp. He always looks like he's got something horrible in his mouth. Well, she certainly did. But the less said about that, the better. So I've got... BBC helplines. This is actually quite a shocker. Seem to be bashing the BBC a lot lately. You know, they give out helpline numbers at the end of BBC programmes, which may or may not have offended you, or worried you, or caused you concern, or, you know, stuff like that. Well, this is quite a revelation. Viewers who call a free BBC helpline after watching distressing programmes are being cut off after just 2 minutes... to maximise profits for the operators. Internal emails reveal, says the... what is this? I should write the names of the newspapers I've plucked this out of. I bet this is the Saturday Telegraph. Internal emails reveal that people manning the BBC Action Line, which offers counselling on issues such as rape, cancer or drug abuse, are told to restrict conversations to 2 minutes and 15 seconds. A brief chat, in other words. Operators claim they have been told that if they spend longer than that, they risk disciplinary action. Insiders at Capita, the computer firm running the line for the BBC, say the target was drawn up because the company is paid for the number of calls processed. This gives a financial incentive to clear calls as quickly as possible. Free phone numbers for the line, it's their free phone as a condition of the BBC charter, are broadcast at the end of radio and television current affairs programmes, and after soaps such as EastEnders, when they feature controversial or disturbing storylines. Or people just give up the will to live after hearing the theme tune. Does it have to be so funereal? Last night a spokesman for Addaction. Oh, you see what they've done there? It's Addiction and Action. A drug and alcohol treatment charity said... It was very worrying that somebody who is distressed could be cut off in mid-sentence just because the call's not earning any money. One email from a manager to a helpline operator congratulates him for keeping calls under the target time. Keep up the good work, the manager says. Another email says to tells him that he has had a very good week because he kept calls to an average of 1 minute 45 seconds. somebody's calling up because they've been raped, for instance. How on earth could you deal with that in 1 minute 45 seconds? The operator who passed on the emails, because he was, quotes, disgusted by the way Capita runs the services, said, "We are trained to close the call or take control of the call, which is jargon for keeping the call short. If you don't meet the call times, you're put on a personal action plan. And then, after a period of time, if you've not improved, you face disciplinary action." You remember Capita, they've won the government contracts worth more than, guess how much? That's right, £2.6 billion since Labour came to power. Its boss resigned earlier this year after £1 million loan to the Labour Party was made public. The two are not in any way connected. Let's go to Chadwell Heath. Mushvik.
Yeah, that's right.
What's up, Mushvik?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, mate?
All right.
You're a bit moody tonight.
Am I?
Yeah, you're slagging this person off, slagging that person off.
Oh, well, I was listening to Steve Allen earlier on. He's affected my he's warped my fragile little mind. So what's up, Bushwick?
Nothing much. I want to play the Om game,
actually. Oh, okay. Well, let's have a little chit-chat first, right? We've got to get that out of the way. The pleasantries, first off. So, what have you been up to?
Today, oh, I've just been revising, mate.
Oh, right. Revising.
Yeah.
For what?
My first year exams at uni.
Yes. What are you studying?
Pharmacy.
Pharmacy?
Yeah.
Is that a subject?
Yeah, it is. It's a professional...
Well, yeah, I know that, but I didn't think that you could actually... that there was a degree called pharmacy.
Yeah, most...
I thought you'd have to take that. Chemistry and medical science and all of that, but there's... And how long do you have to study to be a pharmacist? This is an incredibly long time, isn't it?
No, just 4 years.
No, you can't be a pharmacist after just your initial degree. I'm quite certain about that.
Oh, right, yeah, you do your 4 years undergraduate and you get a 1 year training and then you're a qualified pharmacist.
Really? I thought it was 7 years.
No, not in this country.
Are you absolutely sure about that, or are you about to have a rude awakening?
No, I'm absolutely sure.
You've checked?
No, I've checked. It's a 4 year M.Pharm degree.
Right. And how much does a pharmacist earn, by the way?
It depends, varies, you know, from different aspects of pharmacy, basically.
I mean, they run a shop, right? Is it like a shopkeeper, in that they just, whatever their turnover is the money they make, or is it more like a doctor, where you get paid for, you know, time served?
Well, there's different aspects. I mean, you could be a hospital pharmacist, where you get your money from the NHS, or... Obviously, if you're a community pharmacist on the high street, it is turnover. And also, there's working for industry, you know, drug discovery and stuff, you know, where you can...
Oh, that's where the big money is.
Big money. But they are very ruthless, the drug industries. Don't forget about it.
What do you mean, ruthless?
As in, they're not... Well, you know, you always must read the papers, the fact that drugs are so expensive and they're not making it cheaper for Africa and drugs like AIDS drugs especially, you know.
Well, they're in business. They're business people. That's what businesses do. They maximise their profits.
Profits, exactly.
They're forced to maximise their profits. It's out of their control. Their shareholders insist upon it.
Exactly. People don't see that.
So they just shrug their shoulders and say, "Poor, it's nothing to do with me, Governor." You want to practice that in the mirror every now and again. "Poor, nothing to do with me." So people will be forever coming into you, you know, it's not as bad as being a GP, but I guess you don't get paid as much as a GP. You won't be paid £250,000 to work from 9 till 11, Monday and Wednesday, and afternoons on Thursdays, will you?
No, I don't think so. But
that's probably the reason why it takes most people 2 weeks to get an appointment with their GP, because they're never there. What do they do when they're not there? Because you look at the GP's opening times... Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, 9 till 11, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, afternoons on Thursday, and that's it.
Well, I mean, it varies from GP to GP, but, you know, and I think the media have kind of blown that £250,000 a year up a bit. You know?
Yeah, they have. They found one person that earned £250,000 a year, and then suddenly they made it sound like they all do. They don't. They earn about £100,000 a year, which is no small change. I mean, it's not Radio 1 DJ money.
It's about, I think, average about 80 to 100 grand, yeah, that's about right.
But, you know, Radio 1 DJs have to say, hey! And if you can't come up with that on a regular basis, then you're obviously not worth £10,000 a show.
I don't think I've ever heard them say hey, but, you know, don't really listen to Radio 1 that much, actually.
No, well, you and me both. We're not teenagers anymore. Well, you might be. I guess you're not.
No, I'm 20.
We're not 15 anymore, so it's not for us, quite.
I wish I was 15, though.
You don't. You can't. Possibly wish you were 15. You're 20. Everybody listening to this show right now is pulling their hair out, wishing that they were 20. You're wishing you were 15? Why?
Well, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? You know, you kind of look back and think to yourself, 15, you know, you didn't have any worries, and now when you're 20, it's like, got to buckle up and mature up and think about your career and stuff.
I don't think that's true at all. You didn't have any worries when you were 15. I think you have a worry bucket, and whatever age you are, you fill it with whatever's around you. When you're in a pram, your worry bucket is full of, where's my next thumb coming from? And when you're 15, it's, oh my God, I've got a spot the size of a Volkswagen on the end of my nose. Your hormones are oozing out of every pore in your body. You don't know which way to turn.
Good point. Very well, good point. I like your perception on that.
20? Perfect.
Is it?
Well, if you had the mind of a 44-year-old and the body of a 20-year-old...
Yeah.
If you had the mind of a 55-year-old and the body of a 20-year-old, you'd be Rod Stewart.
I wouldn't mind Penny Lancaster on my arm, I'm not too sure.
On your...
arm.
Arm, right. Yeah. So you're going to be a drug doctor, eh?
A drug dealer, yeah.
You have people coming up to you all the time. Like I was going to say, it's not exactly like being a GP, where it's just one sick person after the next. Most of them are like regular... You know, LBC gets regular callers, GPs get regular callers as well. Every day, probably the same people, over and over again. It's oozing. Oh, blimey, this one again. Take two aspirins and don't call me in the morning. But you will have people coming up to you all the time and asking your opinion. Are you ready?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. I mean, pharmacists these days, they're kind of the first stop. Before, I think sometimes even before a GP, because with a GP, they'll call up, get an appointment. You can go straight to your pharmacist kind of thing.
Well, people can't get appointments with their GPs because, they're only open when you're working, so you can't go. And even if you could go, it's in 2 weeks' time, by which time you'll be cured or dead. Actually, that's true. My current GP is incredible. And there's always something wrong with me, and there's a well-worn rut between me and my GP. And you call up, and you can get an appointment within half an hour. It's amazing.
Well, that's pretty decent.
Everybody listening to this show right now, rushing to the phone, wanting to know the number of my GP. It's the only time I've ever been to a GP where you can get an appointment, not just that week, but that day. Always. He's got no patience. I think my file came over when I moved. He said, oh, God, this bloke, I better cancel all my other appointments and just permanently be here waiting, twiddling my thumbs, because he's bound to call.
Like celebrity status, eh, Nick?
No, I think the NHS, like a red flag comes up every time my name's mentioned. Oh, blimey, this bloke. Which is why he always asks me, have I got private health insurance? Because I think I've drained the NHS. Every penny that I've spent in the NHS has been freshly drained out. I think we all have an account. And once you've drained your account, then the GP is prompted to ask if you've got private medical insurance.
Oh,
I'm ill more than anybody I've ever... And I do everything right. You name it, I do it. Bran, vitamins, sleeping, exercise... fruit and veg. How many people do you know eat five fruit and veg a day? Like Tony Blair's insisting that you do. He went to a gym the other day to make us go to the gym. You don't need to be photographed on a rowing machine to alert people to the fact that there are gyms out there. You silly man. He did it probably just to get some publicity that wasn't. Is it time to go, Tony? Oh, he wanted to show us that he was still fit and raring to go. So he got himself up in chav gear and went to the YMCA.
Chav.
He did. That's absolutely true. Right.
I think, you know what? I think he should have left when he won his second term because then the economy was strong, health services was still, you know, there, and education was still okay. And if he had that deal, air quote, with Gordon Brown, that would have been the perfect time to hand over, and he could have left Downing Street with, like, you know, being one of, probably one of the most, and obviously before the Iraq War as well, he could have been probably one of the most successful prime ministers of all time.
He could have continually walked on water for the rest of his life.
Like Bill Clinton has after eight, I mean, that's why in America you've got the two term only, and Bill Clinton kind of walks on water kind of thing. Every time he says anything, everyone listens, and that could have been, that could have happened to Tony Blair if he had gone after his second term.
But yeah, but, you know, you need a time machine, really. You need to go forward in time to determine the exact right time to quit. And, yeah, it sort of went by. We need to take an ad break, so I'm going to get rid of you by playing the game.
Okay.
So I'm quite certain you're not going to get far, right? I'm number two.
I thought I was going to get the other
Other number two.
Is that our Deputy Prime Minister, John Prescott?
It's not! Oh, dear, but thanks for playing.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
This story came and went, talking about Tony Blair, and he probably is ruining the day that he did stick around for another term, because now, it's like he can't leave now. Like, he can't just up and go now, right? Because it's too much of a bad word storm. So he's got to stick it out and go out on a high, which is what Maggie Thatcher was going for, and she left in tears. I wonder if it's going to go the same way. But this came and went during the week. A Tory activist was threatened with arrest unless she removed a jacket that bore the slogan... Now, I don't know whether I can say this on the air. You remember the Sex Pistols album? Never mind the... Here's the Sex Pistols? Can you say the word that I just blanked out? Lucy's not paying attention. She's listening to Radio 3.
Can you mouth the word to me again?
I won't mouth it. I'll just say it again. You remember the Sex Pistols album? Never mind the... Here's the Sex Pistols? You like to say that?
People can probably guess it, can't they? Why don't we say Buzzcocks instead?
Yeah, all right, good one. A Tory activist is threatened with arrest unless she removed a jacket that bore the slogan Buzzcocks to Blair. That almost works. Julia Gobert. Gobert? Gobert? Was outside Earl's Court tube station distributing local election leaflets when two British Transport police officers, who obviously had nothing better to do, told her she was causing offence. Mrs. Gobert, who was helping two Conservatives in their bid to be... I don't know, there's something about the Conservatives lately, they've got a bit of spark to them, don't you think? He was helping two Conservatives in their bid to be re-elected to Kensington and Chelsea Council, was wearing a Countryside Alliance fleece jacket and a baseball cap given to her by her sister, also bearing the anti-Blair logo. She said this attracted dozens of people to approach her outside the station entrance in Earl's Court Road and take the leaflets. You don't have to say, vote Conservative. You just say, Buzzcocks to Blair, she said, and they take the leaflets out of your hand. The 1986 Public Order Act prevents the display of words or signs that could, quote, cause offence. Overcame the two British Transport police officers, and one said, we are going to arrest you unless you take your jacket off. I've got no idea if that's how they spoke, but that's in my mind. That's what I'm making up. You are being offensive to school children. Oh, come on. It's the rest of us who have to be protected from the school children. Are you joking? She says, I took it off, but left my baseball cap on. Whoa, she's a rebel, and she'll never, never be any good. If I had a shirt on underneath, I would have been naked, she said. If I hadn't had a shirt on underneath, I would have been naked. And that would have been even more offensive to some. Oh, don't do yourself down, Julia. We haven't come along very far, really, have we? In 1976, the police were prosecuting, I think it was Virgin Record Stores, for putting the Sex Pistols album in their windows. They ordered them to take it out. That was in 1976. And now, all these years later, they're still calling it offensive to walk around in public with it. What I can't believe is that someone hasn't called it offensive that boys are belting their jeans underneath their bums and walking around Sainsbury's with their shirts off, thereby showing all and sundry their underwear in the fresh goods section. I mean, how is that not offensive? The Oxford English Dictionary has got this word, isn't it? It's also in the Bible. Can you believe that? In the Bible, it's spelled B-A-L-L-O-K-E-S. And balderdash is a polite alternative. Not buzzcocks, you were wrong. Oh, here we go. Let's go with Tottenham Court Road. No one lives in Tottenham Court Road. Come off it, Dean.
All right. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hello. Hello?
Stereo.
Sorry?
It's in stereo.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Dean.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Yes, Dean. I'm all right. What's up?
Good. Nothing. Well, we've just come back from London and we were on our way home, so I thought I'd give you a ring because I was listening to you on the radio.
Are you in Tottenham Court Road?
We've just come off Tottenham Court Road. Right. Where are we? We're on...
We're still in London.
Sorry?
Never mind. Go on.
Oh. So
you want to play the game, eh?
Yes, please.
I'm number one.
Okay.
It's like cold starting a car.
Blimey, what is this? Okay. Is it, Bill Clinton?
It's George Bush, I'll give you that when we've been over this ground. How can you... Bill Clinton!
How the hell is... No, sorry, how is that George W. Bush?
How is it not George Bush?
No,
Who else could that possibly be?
I'm still on the speed camera.
You've just manipulated that so no one can get it. That's a con.
I'm telling you, it's George Bush.
All right, okay, yeah, all right, I believe you, really.
The guy in the car says you've just gone through a speed camera. You all right?
Yeah, apparently, but we might have got flashed. Oh dear.
Here's, I'm number two.
Oh, Frank Bruno?
I hope you did get flashed. You need find, boy. So what have you been doing in London this late at night?
Well, we went to Chinatown.
Chinatown. You didn't eat there, did you?
Yeah, we did. It was nice.
Oh, right. Well, you better speed home.
Yeah, I know.
There is a hospital quite near you.
Is there?
They're very good. Almost nobody dies there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we had shark soup. Shark fin soup. Nice.
I seriously doubt it was shark fin soup. It's very expensive. How much was it?
I don't know. I paid, but I didn't find out the
price. You didn't check the bill?
No, I didn't. I just paid.
Foolish child. Shark fin soup. No, it's probably... Did it taste a little like chicken?
It smelled a lot like chicken, yeah.
It's probably chicken.
Yeah.
Or something like it. Yeah.
Or something like it.
I'm number two. Not Frank Bruno.
All right, then. Who is it, then?
Somebody more famous and newsworthy than that.
Okay.
Somebody who could be lording it over us anytime soon. Oh, come on, mate. It's easy. I know you're listening on a mobile phone. I mean, if you thought that this was Bill Clinton, you got no hope.
God, I don't know. what's his name? John Prescott.
John Prescott.
Yeah.
You're just wildly stabbing in the dark now, aren't you?
Yeah, got no clue. You've manipulated them so we can't understand, can't hear them properly.
I've manipulated them.
Yeah, that's what you've been doing for the last 14 hours.
Manipulating them, yeah. And that's what I'll be doing tomorrow as well, as a matter of fact.
Available on DAB Digital Radio. London's LBC 97.3.